Good evening and welcome to another episode of the C-List Villains, your cultivators of the comic culture. I'm your host, AJ. We've got Red in the building. E-Man will not be able to make it tonight, and I believe Luke is going to try and jump on in a little bit, but right now you just got the both of us.
What a weak sauce. I got my flu shot today. I'm not feeling well, but yeah, I'm still going to go on the show.
You got your flu shot? I got mine a couple weeks back. I didn't feel anything at all.
Because we brought Kaiser in to work, so they did our biometrics and our flu shots today. They didn't have the RSV shot, then I got to do the COVID at the actual Kaiser.
What's the RSV shot?
RSV is that new, I guess it's kind of like a bronchitis, because I had it a couple weeks ago, and it's no joke. That shit hurts. That was a lot of fluid in my lungs on that one.
Oh man.
Yep.
Maybe I should look into getting that then.
Doesn't have the same fever from COVID, but as far as like more respiratory ailment in your I guess more your esophagus gets really inflamed. It's crazy.
Okay.
So they have vaccines for that. So they're recommending you either get all three in a day or you stagger them. But if you're gonna do two at least in the day, get it on separate arms.
Nobody. Why do you have to get them? Like, why can't you just wait like a week or a month or something?
You don't want to like take, because normal people can't take multiple days off just to go to see the doctor, right?
Yeah,
they can't afford to because, you know, wages and such.
Is something flying around? What was that I just...
Yeah, there's a moth in this room.
Okay, I was like, what was that?
Yeah. Well, you know the old wives' tale. It's every moth and butterfly that visits you is an actual family member that passed away.
Okay. Is that a Filipino thing? I actually didn't know about that one.
Yeah. Uh-oh. That's the old wives' tale.
I try not to think about supernatural stuff anymore.
You and I have a long history of supernatural stories that... You know, really just to get the, I guess, every time we're together that, you know, just to get your blood boiling and maybe get you a little bit paranoid on the way home. Because, you know, there'll be nights when you drive off from my house to go back to your house. It's like, you have to check behind your seat to make sure that there's that one awkward ghost that's not sitting behind you.
Yeah, I mean, those drives from Lathrop to Manteca, even though distance-wise it wasn't that far, it felt pretty far.
It's 10 minutes. 10 minutes. But there are drives that when we have to go through cut like that old street where it's just nothing, no lights there at all. You know, and it does get a little bit creepy at times. But you know, it's more lit now. If you come home and check out the place, there's more lights on the way back to your old house versus the way it was 20, 25 years ago.
What about that abandoned residential, or not res, but that abandoned like building, now they've got like offices there, right?
They got like at least 6 Amazon warehouses in that area now.
Oh, I wouldn't want to work there. That place is haunted for sure.
Oh no. They blessed it. There's a shit ton of cars going out there. Plus, across the street now, it is residential. So it used to be, where we got our pumpkins from, because it was a huge pumpkin farmer. But that guy eventually sold off his parcel, and now they're building off single family homes on that side.
Do they still have now? I mean, we're talking about 209 history now, but do they still have Oakwood Lake?
No, that's... The only thing that's left from there is the runoff pond from, I forgot whatever the Sound King River ends. It's a runoff pond, but that was feeding Oakwood Lake Resort. But now since that's gone, they built a Great Wolf Lodge right next to Costco. So that's your That's where you get the water park fun.
Man, they got a great wolf in Manteca.
Yeah, it's finished about 2-3 years ago. Yeah, check that out this year. It's like, man, this is straight up. I don't know. It reminds you of Bear Country in old Disneyland. That's like the whole motif of that place. Plus, I even partake in their little game with the stupid magic wand, and it's like a mission where you go all around the playground and fucking, you know, do every mission on the screen. You know. That's right. It's pretty fire for kids. You know, it is fun.
It's like a grape lounge or wolf lounge game you can play?
Yeah, there's a, it's, I forgot the name of it, but it has a Harry Potter feel to it. And you get to talk to fairies and elves and mushrooms and shit like that. And you activate a touchscreen with your wand, and then you follow the mission and you try to get everything like not a search your own, not like a choose your own adventure kind of deal, but you have to choose, you have to find it all the way around the park, all these little tokens and shit that you gotta scan with your fucking magic wand. It's pretty fun if you got like if you're patient, but you've got, roughly 100 other kids or people playing with you, so you have to wait in line to get the use of fucking, you know, the touchscreen.
Herbs is, I have the wand too, but because I have a 3-year-old red.
Well, I went with my 10-year-old nephew, so yeah. I did the uncle thing and took him out. You know, his parents, my sister and my brother-in-law, took a nap. And yeah, so I kind of splurged on the dude and got him the high end one with the lights and shit like that. But and you know, you get the free one with no effects, but it still scans. But you want to see the shit light up, so you have to splurge another $10 for a wand that lights up.
Did are there how many water slides are in that park or in that resort? I should say
I didn't go in that park.
Oh, okay. But so wait, there's more to it than just the slides, then.
Yeah. You got a what do you call it? Not a jungle gym, but it's a fuck. Where you kind of rappel down in like on ropes on like crosses trees and shit like that.
Oh, okay, yeah. Zip line.
Yeah, well, not just that. You also walk across the slack line too. Well, a little safety harness.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and then you have also places to eat in there. There's a little arcade, and then if you stay late enough, you go to the main lobby. They throw a concert for the kids, a concert and dance hall. So I say it's cheesy, but it was still pretty fun. Damn right, Herb.
Is it expensive?
Yeah, it's pricey, but you know, what are you gonna do in a small town?
Yeah,
like the price of admission really is already comes with the hotel room that you rent, that you take in for the night.
Okay, you know, since we're on this subject, how's is Stockton still pretty ghetto, or is it cleaned up a little bit?
Define ghetto.
Like the crime rate per capita, is it still pretty high?
Crime, I don't.
Are you a venture out there anymore?
I don't see it because I don't venture out for it. But the homeless problem is skyrocketing.
Oh, and man.
But because of the cost of living is going up, that, you know, there's a lot more people not able to afford a roof above their heads. But as far as crime, it's there, but you know, you don't see it in out in the open. You know, we have a mutual coworker who was murdered not too long ago, at least 8-10 months ago. There was a
I know this guy, or like, yeah, from your work.
Remember, from Marie Callender's?
Okay.
Through the Sal Dubede. Yeah, you probably would.
Sounds familiar. Was he a cook?
He was a busboy.
Okay. Did he start like around the same time I started?
It started like a little later, but you were there with Jeanette and, you know, with the other crew. But yeah, the dude got murdered by the serial murderer that was roaming around stalking.
Oh, fuck.
Killing just transients and I guess people walking at drive-thrus and shit.
So wait, did he fall on hard times then or what?
Oh no, he went to go Carl's Jr. to go get food for his fiance. And then he just got caught up in the mix with this guy who just pulled up the pistol and shot him right there.
Damn. Jesus.
Hey, that's Stockton for you.
Yeah. That sucks for him though. So sorry for that. His family and everything.
Yeah.
What about the mall? Is it still pretty dead now? Is it dead now?
I don't know. The only time I like come near that place, I don't remember when last time I was near that place. it's there. I mean, there was talks of remodeling and revamping the place, but again, it's since COVID era happened, just the shopping experience hasn't been the same.
Yeah, I think that's for a lot of
Amazon has really depleted business for any kind of brick and mortar.
I mean, a lot of people are a lot of malls are doing that whole outdoor thing, mall experience.
Yeah, well, I mean that's already a plenty in SoCal, but here in Stockton and NorCal, it's like everything's still indoors. The old 1950s model where you keep everything under one roof, but it's not conducive to what it is now. Or what people need is actual place to hang out.
Yeah. I mean, I remember like the Tracy outlets were big, and then all of a sudden it just
that place is dead. That place is dead. There's like three taquerias in there, a partial office space for some kind of accountant, and a buy it on eBay store. You know, the shit that you saw on 40-year-old Virgin where they just put shit up and then you still have to bid on eBay.
Like anime statues or something? Or
just shit you... shit that people have, like secondhand items.
Oh,
but you can't actually buy it off the rack. You have to go bid on eBay and then you pick it up from the store.
Wow, that's weird. I've never heard of that.
I guess he's doing all right. I mean, he's been there for about more than 10 years now. But even that place is like it has doubled as a venue for at least two comic conventions there.
Oh, that's right. Wasn't that Kevin Eastman?
Kevin
had Eastman a thing there, yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Eastman was there for that first time. And then the second year was okay, and then after that, he discontinued it because the venue was no longer available to them, and then they had to move it out to Pleasanton, so over the Altamont.
Okay. I know we're supposed to do some geek talk here, but I gotta ask you, since we're on the subject of 209. I mean, do you think you're gonna be living there in the 209 for the rest of your life?
No.
Well, okay. The rest of your life until you retire.
Probably not either. Not that either. I have no plan. I'm just going off whatever, you know, wave I'm on right now. So if this wave dies, I'll just find another wave to ride on. And just surf that in all the way to death. I don't know. There's always, it's complacency is kind of, you get stuck in one place and then that's not me. I can't be stuck. And that's what I spent the first 20 years of my life was moving around, working at places. he saw it. And now I'm like here. I've been here for roughly over 10 years now. So it's, I think it's that time to like find something new. But at the moment, I can't go yet.
Okay. Yeah, because it seemed like you were going to be a SoCal native. And then
Vegas. And then back to SoCal. Yeah. We'll see how the money goes right now. It's just weird. Maybe it's even time for like a career change.
Okay. What would you do?
Oh, what do you want? What should we do, Kylo? I think we're gonna open a pet shelter. Yeah, I think we're gonna do that. We're gonna sell our comic books and then open a pet shelter.
Okay. Then all right.
Live on an island somewhere.
Well, I mean, I know that at some point you're gonna wanna retire to the Philippines, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, I got. Yeah, we have a hotel there. I have to end up running after the parents are gone. So that's the other thing in my horizon.
So are your parents officially like living out there now, or are they traversing back and forth?
Yeah, so that 3 months in, 9 months out, come here, pay taxes, and go back to the hotel.
And that's basically. That's it then, right? That's yeah. What the...
Yep. And this is going to be home base. So there's always a place for them to stay here.
So what? I'm assuming they come around like between March through March, April, May, maybe?
Yeah. Yep. And then they take off around June. If not, they like to extend their stay a bit longer. But, you know, it's their time to enjoy life.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into a little bit of some geek talk.
Of a tangent of getting to know our lives here. It's okay. That's what it's all about. You know, getting to know your villains. We all have a villain story. You know, we were heroes before, and then maybe a tragic event happened in our lives, and now we're on our villainous arc.
We've lived long enough to see ourselves as villains.
Yeah.
A la Dark Knight.
Yeah. Even if we're not villains, we're anti-heroes.
Yeah. We didn't die as heroes. We lived long enough to become villains. So
Herb says, marry rich, and that should always be the goal. You know what? I've tried. But, you know, anyone who's rich is not, I'm not sexually attracted to. That's the problem. it's hard to get it up.
Whoa.
Especially at this age.
Especially what now?
Especially at this age. Yeah, a little blue pill to help out with that.
All right. Let's talk a little bit of that Loki season 2, which I have you watched both episodes?
Yeah, watched at least 4 times now.
All right, then if you've watched it 4 times, please explain to me the story, because I'm completely lost. I don't understand what is going on. This branch thing that they're trying to stop from being destroyed.
First episode, we see where our people left off. And the last episode of the first season, Sylvie had killed off he who remains, which is another variant of Kang, which then he was the one in control of the sacred timeline. Once he dies, the timeline splits off to all these branches. So that's where we end our season 1. Going into season 2, we find out where Sylvie is after she kills Kang. We also find out what happens to Loki. Because he ends up returning to the TVA, and only to find out that it's Kang's TVA. And so you spend the first 2 episodes like figuring out why is it Kang's TVA, because his statues are all over the place when he appeared in that session. So you find out he's part of the Temporal Loom. We get introduced to Obi, which is played by a short round from Indiana Jones. And then he's repairing the Temporal Loom in order for it to take in the new branches because if the loom is unraveled, it will kill everybody in the TVA. But when you get to the second episode where you have one of, I guess, Miss Minutes, or I forgot the other girl's name, but her lieutenants end up cutting off the branches that have already appeared from the split of the sacred timeline. But you saw it already in the second episode as well, like some of the time cops, you could say, already enjoying their versions of variant and enjoying life outside of the TVA. And that's probably the consequences of what's going to happen. You'll see more of that probably throughout the season.
So, I mean, do you like it? Are you enjoying it or what?
Second episode was, I got the moth right there. Second episode was a bit confusing. That's why I had to watch it.
Second episode was really confusing. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, but it's like, did you miss something? That's what confused me. Like, how did you jump into this? Okay, you got himself out of the time loom, and then now he jumps into a mission to go find X-15 or X-5 and try to find out where the one chick that had gone. And then they go through this all misadventure stuff, and then figure out that it was just a distraction in order for the what's her name's lieutenant to cut off the branches. Again, there's still a lot more plot holes, which we'll probably get to see resolved in the next couple more episodes. And more interaction with Obi and then the other Filipino dude, because that seems to be my favorite so far, is having those two like interact.
You know what? Obi just sounds like Data. I just think he's just playing Data, an older Data.
Yeah, Obi. Aside from the comedic relief, you need the person in charge, which is the black lady who's playing Time Cop. You have the two officers of Time Cops in Loki and Mobius. So this is like a buddy cop comedy. And you have Obi as your smart guy, your guy in the chair. That's actually helping them on the mission and try to figure things out. And then the Filipino dude is your comedic relief. Sylvie is the love interest / other badass.
Are you enjoying the season at all?
What?
Are you enjoying the season at all?
Yeah. I mean, we're only two episodes in. I mean, there's still a lot more to see. Plus, we haven't even seen Ken yet, and he's been featured on a bunch of trailers.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Man, I don't even remember.
Yeah, he's in the 1900s. He's got the old afro. He's doing some shit like on the stage. So that's probably gonna happen in the next episode.
So, what are you rating the episode, the season so far?
9-2. There's still a lot of holes that need to be cleared up, but I'll be patient with it and just let it play out.
Okay.
Aside from being confused with the episodes, it's just story wise, action, acting. I don't know. Where's your thoughts on that?
I don't know, man. I think I'm starting to get superhero fatigue. I'll be honest with you, I'm starting to get that comic book collecting fatigue as well. Like, I think I'm not saying I'm almost done with it, but I think I'm gonna take a pause from collecting comics.
What's up, Mark? I've done it. I do starts and stops, but yeah, I've stopped collecting modern and just jumped on collecting silver and bronze age. But as far as like superhero fatigue on TV shows, I like a good story. So whether or not it's a superhero genre or just action or kung fu, I'll watch. I'll read. Life is all about getting those stories and such. That's that's how stuff gets passed down through the ages.
Right, but that's the thing. Like, I feel like I'm just trudging along with watching most of these Marvel Disney shows. Like they're not doing it that much for me.
You're a consumer, so yeah. You don't have to be force fed whatever they give you. So if you're into something and then all of a sudden now you're kind of just like, okay, I'm not over it, but I'm just like, I'm gonna take a break and then I'm gonna come back to it when I'm ready because there's other stuff going on or there's other interesting things to do or watch. And Mark has been there too, but with Star Wars, and then Herbs as well. What does Herbs say? It feels like a homework. Like
yeah, exactly, it does. It feels like homework
for us. It has to be homework. We got to do a show about it. It's like yeah, there's gonna be times where we're gonna have to trudge through this shit, and be what's that word I'm looking for? Not leaning towards liking it or disliking it, just having to give you some kind of opinion on it, and it's not, that way it's not one sided. And we wouldn't have a show if we don't watch those shows.
Yeah, I agree with Legion of Comics. I was very happy. I was happy with Ahsoka too. But the rest is, I'm just kind of like, it's homework. And before I would actually watch shows, analyze it, try to get ready for the show and have for our show so that I have really good talking points. Now I'm just like, okay, I'm watching it. And, all right, here's my rating and I'll try to remember what I want to talk about.
You just need to find some kind of inspiration in order for you to really enjoy things. Yeah, you don't have to watch it because the rest of us will still do our homework and review it. And then, if you want to talk about something else, that way we don't have to like a consecutive shows on the actual reviewing the same show for 8 weeks. Like,
I know, right?
That format is kind of, I know it's dead, but I know we're better and we're more versed than that. So, because we used to talk like shows, comic books, sports, celebrity rumors. If we get in that kind of vibe again, in that routine, then yeah, everything should be flowing smoothly, and then it won't feel like it's homework having to just, oh shit, I gotta watch Ahsoka again today. I guess I'm gonna do a review for tonight. Damn it. It becomes once you get something repetitive, then yeah, it becomes more work. You lose the fun, then you lose the enthusiasm for doing the show.
Yeah. Well, I will say, I mean, Ahsoka was good. I'm not really feeling Loki so far. I'll give it an 8 because I like the acting. I like the characters, but the story hasn't drawn me in just yet.
Well, it hasn't brought in, but it's world building at the time. At this time,
yeah,
it's supposed to set up the Kang Dynasty / Secret Wars kind of deal, more towards Kang Dynasty. That we can get those Avengers movies going on, and then with the Marvels, that's going to set up more the Secret Wars portion of the story.
Yeah. I don't know if I talked about it on here, but I did watch Blue Beetle. I like that. I enjoyed that.
I have little complaints about Blue Beetle, but...
Have we talked about Blue Beetle yet?
Oh, but we can repeat it. We can invite Mark to do it, too, because Mark has opinions about Blue Beetle, because he liked it as well. But I watched it, and even though I was a little bit annoyed with George Lopez, the story flowed, the acting flowed, it felt more a Power Ranger-esque kind of superhero type, but the surprise at the end with the secondary antagonist become an actual hero saving the day. It's, right. But some of the stuff seems not so grounded in reality, which, you know, I shouldn't be thinking that way because this is a DC film. So I should be just saying, oh, I should be thinking like this. This is way into the fantasy part. So let it play out.
Yeah. I mean.
Thank you, Mark. Carapax.
Okay, yeah. I will say that maybe I'm a little biased as well because the actor, Zolo, I'm going to butcher his last name, so I'm just going to say Zolo. The main character from obviously Cobra Kai, like, I root for him. I like his character, so I want to see more of that character. I want to see more of him being Blue Beetle.
Yeah, I think he's a perfectly cast person to play that part. Mark had said it earlier on the show where it seemed like it was slated for a low budget, straight to streaming kind of movie, but since the failure of Batgirl, and you know, they decided to pump more money into Blue Beetle to make it better. That way, they could release it into theaters. That she made it more palatable for an audience, so I really enjoy it. And you know, you get the whole superhero trope plus the end where you get the little teaser of, oh, there's another Blue Beetle stuck somewhere far, far away.
Yeah.
There's Mark saying, yeah, originally filmed for Max movie theaters. They added $20 million to.
Oh, okay. All right. I could see how that happened. Yeah. Which I'm not mad at. I'm not mad at that at all.
Well, we could be mad about the Batgirl being shelved. But
yeah, you know, I just put it out. I mean, it's already done. Put it out on Max. If it's terrible, I don't know how they're going to lose money. They've already lost money. You might as well just put it out on Max for us to watch.
They claim there's a loss and got money back as an insurance. If they release it, they don't get that money from insurance.
But how does that work? That doesn't even make. I don't even understand. Is that movie film jargon or business that we don't know about?
Business. It's like buying a car new, but all of a sudden you damage it on the way out of the fucking dealership, and all of a sudden, like, okay, I can't take the car home anymore, you know, to use, even though it's still usable. But I have to go return it to the dealership and have insurance to pay me off already. That way I can buy another car.
Oh, they were able to get all their money back. Okay. All right, I see that. Yeah. I mean, at that point, I mean, I don't know. Maybe just leak it somehow. I don't know.
Someone will eventually leak it.
Yeah.
Someone will. I mean, look, remember The Room with Tommy Wiseau?
Yeah,
really cheesy as movie where everybody throws spoons at the screen. Yeah, that dude was not willing to take it as a loss. He just put this shitty movie out there, became a cult hit, even though it was a fucking shitty ass movie. But people enjoyed it because how crappy it is. He still made his money, his notoriety off of it. And you know, I guess him being a small studio and the producer and director versus WB, you know, that's we're talking about a $500 million loss on the film,
right? Speaking of DC movies, I highly suggest you guys. There is the director of the first Suicide Squad, David Ayers, right?
Yeah.
So he did an interview maybe about a month back with what's the actor's name? Shane from
Walking Dead?
Walking Dead. What's his name?
John Berthel.
Yeah. So John Berthel did an interview. He interviewed David Ayers about Suicide Squad and how he felt about, basically, I think his direct quote was, imagine the love of your life being fucked by the person you hate the most.
And
that's how he felt about how DC pretty much screwed over his vision of Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I felt that. We're the guy watching The Love of Our Lives getting, we're the ones getting cucked by WB because he's having a good time with it. We're seeing our work getting this person in a bed go to shit.
Yeah, I mean, and there's been talk that I think James Gunn is open to releasing the Ayer cut, which I hope that they'll do. But I mean, who knows, right?
I forgot who took it over after Ayer. Was it also Joss?
No, it was Joss Whedon, right? Wait,
because Joss took over for.
I can't remember. I think what happened was
Snyder. He took over from Snyder.
I don't know if I think WB just had like people cut it up.
I'm not surprised. Ian's asking if it was on Berthold's.
Yeah. Watch that interview with David Ayers. But yeah, I mean,
that's what you expect from corporate America. They want their own input on something big like that. You know, it's. I mean, aside from Nolan's Batman, most of the WB property for DC has been really, I guess, cut up because of the producer has at WB.
Yeah. Hey, Ian, I saw all the stuff you posted at NYCC, man. I'm pretty jealous. I want to go. I think maybe in the next year or two, I'm going to try and make it out there.
I don't know, man. I'm not too thrilled about someone shitting on the convention floor. But we haven't seen worse, but we've also experienced other odors on the convention floor. Whether it be San Diego WonderCon or Silicon Valley Con up here, Fan Expo, MegaCon, there's a lot of gross people, and if you have to shit in front of the actors' row, like it must be that full in there, or you just didn't give a fuck that it's like, yeah, I'm just gonna do it here. I'm not gonna wipe it all and drop a trowel and that.
But okay, how did that? I saw. Where was that posted? I saw that posted somewhere too, but. How did that happen? How does one do that?
If you're wearing a skirt, most likely it's somebody wearing a skirt, male or female. It's just an easy access for a drop off. Especially if you're in cosplay. So let's say if you're wearing this, what's that robot called on Doctor Who? If you're rolling around that thing, right?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I
don't remember. Yeah, so if you're rolling around in that thing, you're easily covered. It's like you easily just drop your load on the floor, lift the costume, that way your shit doesn't like drag with the costume, and then move to the next thing. Because the next guy behind you, probably not even noticing what's in front of them, they're gonna end up just stepping on it right away.
Oh God, I don't even want to think about that. Oh man,
Harry was a shit show literally at the Celebrity Signing Hall. Yeah. Yeah, a mutual friend, James Crozier, had posted up that the article, and I think it was done by Games Radar or CBR. It's one of those guys, but it's third person information, so not they haven't gotten really an actual person that witnessed it or at least cleaned up the mess.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask you, are you caught up with Demon Slayer?
Hold on. Herbs, furry conventions are known for dirty diapers left everywhere. Herbs, if you're speaking from experience, send me a video of that. That way I can have...
Ew.
I can have
a little bit of knowledge. Furry conventions? Is that where they dress up as, like, bears and stuff?
Yeah, that's the one where you dress up in furry animals and then, you know, have a fat orgy on the floor. Supposedly.
Oh, wow. All right.
Hey, it was talked about on your favorite show, Entourage.
I don't even remember that them talking about it.
All right, go review Entourage. It's they do a whole episode on furries.
Okay, all right. But I wanted to ask you, Red, are you caught up on Demon Slayer?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Japanese version of the newest season. I'm still going through half of that, going through the English episodes. But I'm there. Yeah.
Wait, I caught up with it on Netflix. So is Netflix behind?
Yeah, because the Funimation and Crunchyroll have the Japanese simulcast, and then they come 2 weeks later with the English dub.
Because I just finished the Swordsmith Village arc, so there's another arc already.
No, that's the arc right now that's currently going.
I finished it.
That's the one that finished, yeah. Because they haven't released the next arc for that, which would be I guess that's when they start going to the mansion to go fight fucking Demon Michael Jackson.
Yeah, Demon Michael. No, yeah. He does look a lot like Michael Jackson, actually.
Hi, Ian. Good talking to you, bud.
Oh, he's out?
Yeah. Yeah.
Peace out, man. Oh man, he's got to hit the dojo at 5 a.m. Damn. What do you think about Demon Slayer so far?
Oh, it's a little unfortunate that they didn't get to use Zenitsu and Inosuke for this arc, because I wanted to see how they improve on their skills. But we got to see more of the other masters and how
the Hashiras.
Yeah, the Hashiras, and we get to see what's his face improve on his skills. So it's. It's nice. Plus, they get to fight two more upper demons. Washi, one, two. Who was it? Eventually four.
One of them was like four or five of them, though. Yeah.
And then you got the base guy, shooting fish, and then there's another one.
The one that the guy had emotions. There's only two of them.
Oh yeah, that's the one with the five demons in.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm digging the animation of Demon Slayer is so good. Like, I don't even know. I can't tell if it's drawn digitally or if it's like all like straight up, you know, hand drawn, because it looks really good.
No, it's a mix of both. It looks like it's a mix of both. So yeah, a lot of the cleaner lines, the cleaner pan around the character, that's all digital. If it's like just straight up action, and let's say it's an actual sword fight, I think that's all hand drawn digital cells.
Yeah, I mean, I'm digging it, man. You're not watching My Hero, right? Academia?
No. I'm saving that for a rainy day.
Okay, it's good.
Along with not One Punch Man, but the one they already have a live action show on Netflix.
Oh, One Piece. Yeah, I was going to say, have you started watching One Piece yet?
Oh, not yet, because, again, saving that for a rainy day. Until it becomes homework, I'm going to save it for a rainy day.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
Yeah. There's a lot of other stuff going on. I mean, The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon just finished. Rick and Morty came out on Sunday night. So the new
episode. Oh, it did? I got to watch. I didn't know there was a new episode.
So you get introduced to the guys voicing Rick and Morty and Mr. Poopy Butthole. They're spot on, but their cadence is still kind of off. But maybe later episodes, it gets better. But it's the similarities are there that it's negligible. There, you know, that it's the, you know, it's not Justin Roiland, but it's still there.
So the voices are just a little off.
A little off on just the cadence, because, you know, being the original character and creator Justin Roiland, he already lived those characters. So when you get a voice actor to do it, it takes a bit for them to really catch on and actually take on said characters.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to watch it. I didn't even know that new episode was on. I mean, I thought they were gonna bring back Justin Roiland because he was a who's found innocent or something, right?
But then there's other stuff going on. They're still working out not the logistics, but the actual sentencing and you know, they Cartoon Network and all the I guess corporate entities that controls it want to keep their distance away from Justin Roiland until as such that, you know, the whole business with the law thing is over. So this, I mean, is it worse than what Amber Heard did? I think it's equal. So maybe he's gonna be blacklisted for life. Yeah,
Well, Amber Heard's working though, so
she's working, but I guess you can't really compare apples to oranges with this one, even though they're both in entertainment. One's an actual producer and creator, and she's just an actress.
Yeah. I think also the fact that Justin Roiland was in a position of authority, maybe. So, you know, not to say that Amber Heard wasn't, but, you know, he probably, you know, used that position of authority to a little bit more to his advantage than he should have.
Yeah, you get more, I guess, cred if you're, aside from being an actor and being producer creator, you have a little bit more leeway as far as like, you know, pulling your weight around.
Yeah.
But on his stuff, really, it happened on his personal time. Same thing for Amber Heard, but she was also dating another bigger celebrity than her.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else you want to throw out there? Oh, how is The Walking Dead? I mean, honestly, you're the only person who I know who's still watching Walking Dead.
I need to finish Dead City because I didn't get bored with it. I forgot all about it. And I jumped into Daryl Dixon. That one's actually pretty good. It's gotten more like Book of Eli kind of type of thing, or there's a chosen one. He has to keep him safe, and then because he was born of a zombie, and he is supposed to be the answer to the virus, the zombie virus. And
is what's her name on the show too, Carol?
No. But they the surprise was for this last episode was she ended up getting her own show anyway, which was The Book of Carol. Under the same banner of or at least timeline of Daryl Dixon's adventure in Europe.
And how did Daryl Dixon, I mean, now I'm just inquiring because I'm not going to watch the show, but I want to know, how did he end up in Europe?
It's a rough explanation. He was on the boat and because he was doing some kind of work with a bunch of, I guess, freelance, I don't know what do you call it? Just people just doing like random shit, right? And just got caught up in their stuff, and because he was just needing gas or whatever for trade in order to help him on his quest. So he ends up on the boat, and it was a boat full of zombies that they were trying to take to Europe, and then for them to do tests on. And the whole thing going on in Europe is that there's a group. Not the OCR, but some other group that's actually taking zombies and making them into super zombies so they can run, have skin that could burn you, and spit.
Jeez, what the?
Yeah, it's. They upgraded the zombie madness on that one.
Did they ever bring back Rick Grimes?
That show is going to be next spring with him and Michonne. So we get to. So, there's a lot of spin-offs going on for Walking Dead. Right now, there's a total of five. We're going to finish off Fear of the Walking Dead this end of the year. And then you'll end up with the four spin-offs.
And they still have the Maggie and...
Maggie and Negan are on Walking Dead, Dead City, which it's set 5 years from when they were... finished off on at the Commonwealth, and they're in Manhattan searching for Maggie's son who got kidnapped by Negan's old lieutenant from, you know, back in the Saviors.
Okay. They're not going to do some weird crap where they hook up though, right?
No. I haven't seen it yet, but I don't think they want to do that because Negan.
Yeah, that would not be cool.
Negan is still married to the lady that we saw with back in the old last episode of Walking Dead. He has a kid with her. Maggie, however, is still mad at Negan, so she still wants to kill him.
Understandably so.
However, the zombies in that one, yeah, falling zombies from office buildings, so that's actually pretty fun. And they just splat all over the street. Then you got a mutant zombie that's like fucking, like, you know, human centipede, all like an amalgamation of fucking bodies. It's fucking, it's nice. It's so again, amping the zombie to a whole different level.
Okay, so I don't know if you've heard of this. So first of all, it's on Netflix. There's an actual, I think it's I saw the anime.
Zombie 100,
yeah. But there's also a movie, I think.
Yeah, that's the one with the zombie shark.
Yeah. I saw the anime. So I guess the live action had the zombie shark too.
Yeah, at the end of that flick, they were at the aquarium and the zombies had gotten into the shark tank.
Yeah.
Shark. Yeah. And then the shark melded with the other zombies in order for it to walk on land, then attack. I forgot the main character's name. And so I don't. You can say they jumped the shark by making the shark a zombie, yeah. But they jumped the shark, which is fun. I mean,
so you watched the movie?
Yeah. I'm still working towards the animated series.
Oh, you got to watch it. The anime is great. I mean, that's one thing. I've been kind of I've been trying to catch up on a lot of anime. So I caught up with Zom 100. I caught up with Chainsaw Man. Caught up with Demon Slayer. Caught up with Bleach. Yeah, I've been watching not a lot, but I've been trying to catch up on all the animes that I've been that I've wanted to catch up with.
Well, it's waiting for the other thing that'll be released. The one we missed on in San Diego was the Akira Toriyama. I guess that desert.
The movie? Yeah, it's not going to come out till next year, I think.
Okay, well then there's also that chibi version of Dragon Ball Z that's supposed to
I come saw out. That. You saw that, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We haven't played a trailer in a while. Can we find that trailer and just
sure.
Do a little review of that?
Let's find it. It just fill in what everybody else is. All what you've been doing. Well, I'll look for it. That's it. Dragon Ball.
Man, Daima. That's it. Dragon Ball Daima teaser trailer. But yeah, for anyone out there who's big on the anime thing, send me some recommendations because I've been really on a mission to watch a lot more anime these days.
I mean, Netflix is full of good ones anyway. I mean, I'm just mad that they don't have the dub versions, at least not yet.
Well, okay, so I used to be a sub, but you know what? The voiceover for American for English, yeah. It's good. I'm okay with watching dub now.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same studio that does Demon Slayer and Dr. Stone. It's the same guys.
Yeah.
All right. Here's your. Want to hit play on this thing?
Go ahead, go for it.
All right, Dragon Ball Daima teaser trailer.
Damn, I can't believe it's been like that long. 40 years, dude. That was a good story right there. Mm-hmm. I saw this movie. This was good. I'd like to see Vegeta as a kid. That's gonna be pretty cool. A bunch of them turned into kids. Dragon Ball Daima. I'm not even sure if I'm saying that right. But what are your thoughts, Red? What are your thoughts on this?
It feels like they're trying to rehash the idea of Kid Goku from GT.
Yeah.
Into this current timeline. That way, eventually, they're going to, I guess, they're going to meld the GT universe into the canon universe. So then you have that kid version of Goku and Daima. Versus the GT version of Goku there. Because what was it that they wished him back to be alive, but in order for that to really happen was for him to just be a kid?
I never watched GT, so I don't know the story.
You're right, Herbs. It is adorable. It's adorable. Nothing like chibi characters to really set off an anime. I mean, I guess the best ones really are like Samurai Pizza Cats. Those are like chibi characters in mech uniforms of back in the early 90s. But those were always fun. So like little mini versions of your favorite characters. It's probably more pushed towards a younger generation to get garner more fans. But since it's in the creation of Akira Toriyama, I think it's just going to still be well written.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, are you looking forward to whenever it comes out in the U.S.?
As long as Funimation is still working or Crunchyroll has it, it's going to be hard to dig that up like it was 20, 30 years ago where we have to get bootleg copies of the VHS just to watch the finish off the boot arc for Dragon Ball. You know, at least now where Pirate Bay still is in existence, but the streaming services can get us that in real time and do the simulcast with the Japanese, you know, lineup.
Yeah.
Give it to us the next day.
And you know what? I mean, let's be real. Like, we all know the jokes about Dragon Ball Z, how it takes 20 episodes for, you know, one hit. Sometimes
to start off a fight, or at least get into the degree of the fight. But with the later seasons of Super, they've really gotten away with that. And
exactly, I was just gonna say that they've really been able to make the pace better for the storytelling.
Yeah, they figured it out. Like, hey, maybe we don't need all this talking for like 20 episodes, where we actually have the characters talk and drive the story with the fight. When you have a lot more overpowered people where you have to tell everybody's arc in order for the thing to like I meld right, because you know if you're just concentrating on just Goku or just Vegeta, you're still left wondering what's going on with Piccolo and Gohan on that side of the fucking stadium. You know, they're getting their ass beat. Let's go to that part of the stadium. We'll watch that. You get the audience view from above where all the angels and gods are watching.
Yeah.
The ground floor view, everybody there fighting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I've Dragon Ball Z. I would say the three most influential, okay, I'll say four influential animes for me.
So you want to do the Holy Trilogy. You want to do the Holy Square of anime in your lifetime. Or not the Holy Square. Your Mount Rushmore of anime.
I could do Mount Rushmore. That's four, right? Four?
Yeah, your
Mount Rushmore. Okay, I'm going to say, for me, influentially, Dragon Ball Z.
Okay.
Ronin Warriors.
Ronin Warriors is a good choice, yeah.
Ninja Scroll.
That is a good one, too. That's a good pull, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously I gotta go with Akira. So those four. Those are the four that, I mean, I want to put Fist of the North Star in there.
Well, that could be honorable mention.
Okay, honorable mention is Fist of the North Star.
Yeah, because the great storytelling in Akira really set the pace for us U.S., you know, viewers of anime. Like, okay, wow, this is coming out of Japan. This is actually great storytelling. On top of the great animation, you know, it's like, this is what people are watching and enjoying. I can get this from a live movie, but in animation forms, fuck, I'll watch it all day. With Dragon Ball Z, it's the long form storytelling that kind of, I guess it's became a Japanese staple for mostly anime, right?
Yeah.
Ronin Warriors, a play on a lot of mech genres. Short-lived, but yet, you know, it's still memorable.
Yeah. Well, what about you? What's your Mount Rushmore?
I'm trying to figure out what was your fourth one?
Ninja Scroll?
Yeah, Ninja Scroll. Yeah, that's the one that kind of introduced us to, like, hentai. Yeah.
I wouldn't call that hentai. There was sexual...
Nudity, you know, in cartoons was...
That, like, was very different, yes, yeah.
You never got that in American cartoons. You got it in anime. You got tits on anime. That's what hooked the rest of us in there. My Mount Rushmore is Macross.
Okay.
All right. Astro Boy.
Oh, wow, Astro Boy, okay.
That was a good one. Voltron. And... it was Vampire Hunter D.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, that I would. Yeah, I forgot about that one. You know,
same timeline as Ninja Scroll, Ape Man. After, I think Vampire Hunter D was like actually probably my favorite.
Okay, I mean I can't. That Vampire Hunter D was also like that was one of those that when we were in high school. It's like, oh, you got to watch Vampire Hunter D.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was just that particular movie or was it a series. I know I was gonna say because Battle Angel is my honorable mention, but I never got to watch all the series because Blockbuster or Hollywood Video would never have the whole fucking series because some other dude stole the fucking VHS.
I thought it was only like I could have sworn Battle Angel Alita was only like three episodes.
I thought there was more. I thought it was a bigger arc than just the three VHS tapes at Blockbuster Video.
Maybe. I don't. I always thought it was.
We didn't have the internet. Three.
Yeah.
Firm. So, you know what? Let's ask Google how many episodes there are for Battle Angel. Not Battle Angel. Alita, but let's see.
Another one that people don't talk about is Appleseed. That was always a Blockbuster. That was always
and Pat LaBour.
Oh yeah, that's right. Pat LaBour and Appleseed were always available at Blockbuster Hollywood. Yeah,
because it's Gundam and Macross, like the Wish version of it. it's still pretty good, but you know, people want Macross and people want Gundam. Let's see, where is this thing? So the two episodes finished airing. I guess there were only two episodes.
So it was. That's the thing. They could have done more though. They definitely could have done more to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got the introduction to her, and then you get the introduction to the shit that thing in the sky, which they've done in the actual live action movie. But then you're kind of left hanging, I guess, because the popularity wasn't there, that they didn't, you know, add more to the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's disappointing. I'm not gonna pick those up.
Do you ever, like, when you were in high school or whatever, did you ever go to, like, Suncoast and look at all the...
I went with you! I drove you to Suncoast to look at that shit. That shit was expensive.
It was, and we would never buy any. I would never buy anything. I would just, like, look at what they had.
Pricing it, like, okay, when am I going to get this? All right, when I get a job, I'm going to buy this set. We were looking at the Dragon Ball Z set. The Cell Saga. I think it was going for like $120 for that set. Not at Suncoast, but it was like FYE for your entertainment.
Oh, okay.
But it was, for at that time, it was pricey for us who were still earning minimum wage at $3.75 an hour working at a restaurant and giving us 35 hours a week. You can't afford that kind of luxury to buy the shit that you want.
Yeah, still. Yeah.
And now It's like the DVD versions of the thing or the Blu-ray are still probably the same range buying for a whole season. You're just better off streaming, and hopefully most of the stuff's already in Crunchyroll.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I think we've done a lot of pop culture talk for tonight. Before we sign off, do you got anything else you want to throw out to our listeners?
There's an interview I'm working on. I'm booking a guest. Shit. That's not here yet. I ordered some great paintings. I want to introduce you to this painter. And so it's, but I'll let you guys know as it gets closer. So we'll be booking that person. We also have Tony Rodriguez in the works as well. We're supposed to follow up with him this week, but I think he's still going through his mourning phase with his loved one passing away. You'll probably see us at most of us at San Francisco Fan Expo in Thanksgiving weekend. And I also still have the giveaways from a couple months ago that we still haven't given away because people haven't sent me their entries for our motto. So I'll get on socials this week, repeat the motto, and have you guys re-enter and send me the videos of you reciting that shit. That way we could finally pick out the winners for the two books and the painting that I want it to go to Good Home. And I'll even offer up not this particular book, but a comic capsule to go on your books, because you know what? People should get to know this product. Is fucking, it's amazing. And you're getting your five, I think, tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, I saw it. Yeah, it was out the. I saw the text you sent me. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, plus the John Boy piece.
So oh, okay.
Consider that your Christmas and birthday present right there.
All right, thanks, man. Well, I guess with that being said, guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week talking more Loki and probably more pop culture stuff, you know?
Loki, watch
change it up a little bit.
Rick and Morty, keep an eye out for Rick and Morty. Get to know the actual new voice actors. Yeah, you won't probably tell the difference as much. I mean, yeah, again, like I noticed the cadence, but I watched that series religiously. So I know how Justin Roiland talks. If you're just a casual fan, jump in. It was a funny episode, premiere for season 7.
All right. Well, there you go. All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys all next episode. Peace out.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of the Sealess Villains Podcast, your cultivators of the comic culture. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and email us at sealessvillains@gmail.com. You can also leave us a voicemail or text us at 209-975-7597. Be sure to join Luke Week's Facebook group, Rare Keys and First Appearance Comics. And you can follow us on our two Instagram accounts, Sealess Villains and Sealess Villains Podcast. Lastly, follow the villains on their separate IG accounts, at Luke Weeks, at C-List Villainous Red, at C-List E-Man, and I am at AJ the Comic Collector. Thanks for listening.